everyone, and welcome to yet another interview episode. This time, I'm going to be talking with Leighton Hughes in order to open up part three of the miniseries. This is episode 28. Leighton Hughes is a Banner Brothers expert, as well as also organizing battlefield tours, Currie signings, and running the podcast of We Happy Few. So enjoy. Today, I have the happy pleasure to be having a conversation with Leighton Hughes, the co-founder of the We Happy Few podcast. Welcome to the show, Leighton.
Hi, Rob. How are you? Great to be here.
I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to this conversation. I want to hear everything that you have to say about Banner Brothers, the movie, the people, the book, everything, the actors. I know that you're really connected, and that's great. I'm so happy to have this opportunity.
No, thank you. It's great. I don't really get asked to do these sort of things. It's always the guy I co-founded, We Happy Few with, Matthew Leach, who plays Flight Sergeant Talbot, who gets these sort of appearances, these gigs. I think I've only done like maybe two by myself over the last 5 years. So it's pretty cool. Thank you. And thank you to Paddy for, putting us in touch.
Yeah, for sure. Well, as soon as I mentioned it to Paddy, he's like, oh, you got to speak to Leighton. Yeah, that's the person you got to talk to. I was like, okay. I don't have a problem with that. No problem whatsoever. So, why don't we just start from the beginning? What is your history with Band of Brothers? Like, did you know about it before the miniseries came out? Where did you get hooked, I guess you can say?
Yeah, it's weird. I did a battlefield tour to Sicily recently, and we had Bobby Schofield. It was with Bobby Schofield, who's in Rogue Heroes, plays Dave Kershaw. The battlefield tour guide was Ben Main, and it's really interesting actually, because people talk about Saving Private Ryan being the gateway drug to military history and things like that, and to a point it is true. But while we were on the bus, I can't remember which site we were going to. It was certainly day one, and the question was asked to Ben, the tour guide from Bobby, was what got you into a battlefield tour guide and military World War II history. Memphis Belle, and that was mine.
Okay.
That was his uncle, who was on the tour with us as well, Memphis Belle. And I've always been fascinated with the B-17, the Memphis Belle story, and Memphis Belle was, I'd say, that sort of that starting point for that interest in World War II. Those massive steel aircraft, beautiful bird. And I suppose as I got older, but I always watched Memphis Belle when it came on, or possibly The Longest Day, The Great Escape, Kelly's Heroes, Schindler's List, when that came out. That was a big thing when I was in school. And then you had, it was the same year when Saving Private Ryan and Thin Red Line came out. And I think at the time I loved Saving Private Ryan, and I really preferred Thin Red Line. I think I'll probably be a little bit of controversy there from people, but I don't know why. I just felt it was a little bit different. And I love them both the same, to be honest with you. And, they're both very different in their stories, but certainly that World War II aspect. And there's a lot of, if you look into the sort of, with a military boot camp type scenario, Dale Dye's team, his half of his team, basically, this is the story I got told, was Saving Private Ryan, Dale Dye boot camp. And you had Laird McIntosh as his number two or assistant. I believe Freddie Joe Farnsworth was going to be on that as well, but he got put into another job. But then Mike Stokey, who ended up working on Band of Brothers, he got sent to go and work across on the Thin Red Line. So Dale Dye's team actually did both of those movies as well, which I found utterly fascinating when I found that out. Because I didn't realize that there was a connection there.
Did he already have the company at that point? Dale Dye had the company. Right?
Yeah. Warriors Inc. Yeah, it was.
From Platoon, he started it, didn't it?
Yeah, Platoon. Yeah, I mean the documentary on Platoon is incredible as well. And they were had it a lot harder than Band of Brothers and Masters of the Air and the Pacific guys. In the Philippine jungle, it's an incredible documentary if it's still on Amazon. Brothers in Arms, and we had Paul Sanchez on our podcast once, and we spoke about that because I loved it, and it was incredible hearing his stories and. Some of the stories he told us about Johnny Depp and Defoe and all of it. And even how receptive, how Oliver Stone was to it, because they never interviewed him because I think he was always just a little bit nervous, but he watched it and really enjoyed it. But wow. Yeah, it's awesome. And Yeah, Saving Private Ryan came out. Obviously, did really well at the Oscars. And I think I just heard in, might have read in a movie magazine or something that, that they're doing another thing called Band of Brothers. So this would have been like 99, 2000. And I do remember seeing like an advert that they're going to possibly start looking for extras. But at the time, I didn't even can think about, putting myself forward for it. I don't know, because I was quite a young lad. So probably, I just didn't think about trying, if I'm honest. And, I started hearing that buzz, of, well, that's where I saw, in a movie magazine about this show called Band of Brothers being made. So I hadn't read the book at that time, but just I was excited. Tom Hanks, Steven Spielberg, that's all I knew. Band of Brothers being filmed in the UK. Yeah, that's all I knew. And when it did come out, you see the adverts or the trailers. I think it was BBC Two. It got aired on, I believe, in the UK. So that was my first, when I first, saw Band of Brothers, and it was about 6 months before I joined the Royal Air Force. 6 months, yeah, no, sorry, it was about 9 months. Sorry, I'm splitting hairs.
6 months, 9 months doesn't make a difference. When you're talking about something 25 years ago,
I know, yeah,
you know.
25, yeah, exactly, and. Yeah, a lot of people, credit, Band of Brothers with them joining the military, being that little bit of an inspiration. And certainly after 9/11 as well, because Band of Brothers aired just
The
before that
week
happened.
before, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, it didn't inspire me, but it certainly, I'd say drove me to want to, really excited to join. And although I was joining the Royal Air Force, I wasn't going to be, running across a field or, a hail of bullets or anything like that. I kind of knew that, but I kind of, I don't know. Yeah, I was really excited. I suppose it, instills that patriotic passion in you as well, because of that's what they do. And so when the show came out, I absolutely loved it. I thought, what a show! And I wasn't a big reader at the time. I wasn't a reader at all. And I just watched television. And I suppose I joined the military. I think I was waiting for Band of Brothers to come out on DVD. So once I, passed, completed my basic training, my what we call it in the, the Royal Air Force at the time, trade training, and went to my first unit, got a DVD player, and yeah, it was around sort of the same time that I got the box set. I was bored. I started reading military literature. So I think the first one was I really got into was Bravo 2-0, and I suppose that was just by chance that sort of started that real dive into, learning about history and military history. And Iraq and the second Iraq War, Gulf War, was kicking off as well. So I devoured Bravo 2-0 by Andy McNab. And I think just, I thought, what do I read next? I was bored one day in my, my barracks, and I just stuck my head into the storeroom. I think I was just putting some stuff there or getting an ironing board or something like that. When I did iron my uniform, and I remember seeing this bag, it was open, and it was just full of books, and I was, oh, what's in there? Because you're leaving something open, I'm going to take a look. I'm quite nosy, and if it's not nailed down, it's gone. But I remember looking in it and seeing the Band of Brothers book in there, and I thought, oh, I haven't got this book. I haven't read it yet. I need to read that. And I remember reading it, and it's weird. It's And this is the great thing, obviously, and I as over the years I've learned, why this happened. But obviously in Band of Brothers, you kind of think it's just 20 blokes in a company of 150, or I think it was like nearly 500 people overall over the course of 4 years. I mean, Joe Muccio, hopefully you'll get on, be able to give you the exact numbers of how many people served in that company. But obviously in the show, you see around 20 to 25 guys who are easy company. And you kind of think it's just those guys. When you read the book, then you see the other names, and you think to yourself, why wasn't this guy featured in the show? Or why wasn't that guy featured in the show? And as you know, and over the years, they obviously, realize it's television, they've only got 10 hours. And I think Band of Brothers was originally meant to have been 13. No, it was originally meant to have been 13 episodes as well. Obviously, you have to cut it down, you've got 10 hours, So obviously, they have to focus on certain characters, and you do see that they have amalgamated certain personnel or certain things that somebody else did into another character to obviously to feed that, and that's where history gets a little bit distorted as well, because people who watch Band of Brothers take it
Literally,
quite
of course.
literally. Literally, they won the war, and I thought that myself. So all I wanted to do was read all the Band of Brothers books that had come out after that, the Babe Heffron, Wild Bill book, the Marcus Brotherton books as well, anything associated with Easy Company, because they won the war in my, at the time, that's my thinking. And I suppose very quickly, I realized as well, is actually there were other companies, there were other units that, fought in World War II, and and I still wanted to read about the 101st, but sorry, I still wanted to read about Easy Company, but I also wanted to spread my wings and learn more about the 101st as well. So I started, diving into other books, related to that. But obviously, you read online that people still think that Easy Company won the war. They were a very small cog and a very, very small cog and a very, very big machine. And
But
people think
they're
they were.
representative, they're a representation of the men who fought there. That's the whole idea. That's what people need to remember.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And they talk about the Fox, Fox Company and certain things, and there's so many stories and people think, when they, I think, oh, what division was it? They see retreating. I have been told which division that was. I want to say it's the 28th, but they were decimated, the ones on the start of, or the back end
Of
of
the Battle of
episode
Waterloo,
five. Yeah. The one they take
the end
the
of five,
ammunition.
the end of five,
End of.
the famous scene with Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon, yeah, that's right. And really before then, and this is, I remember watching Band of Brothers at the time, when they get, when they're in the cinema, and this, I think he's a sergeant or a corporal comes up on stage and he tells people, get back to your areas, we're moving. He was in a soap opera in the UK called EastEnders, and I thought, oh, he's in EastEnders, that's Jake from EastEnders. It's littered full of British cast members, Matthew Leach, who played Talbot, he was a kids' TV show I watched growing up, and Ross McCall, who was in a Queen music video as well. I Want to Break Free, I think it was. But you see all these people, it's phenomenal. But yeah, but they're not big people, and that's the great thing as well. Jimmy Fallon wasn't Jimmy Fallon. I think, I'm not sure if that was he Saturday Night Live at the
He was
time?
he was on the cusp of being more well known, let's put it that way.
Exactly. He wasn't who he is today. So I didn't, I think I recognized him, but I didn't really know who he was. He's definitely not the Jimmy Fallon he is today. And yeah, so yeah, and and I didn't see, it's really interesting. You sort of have to peel back the layer what feeds into the story of Easy Company as well. Really, really interesting. And it's a gateway drug. People call about, saving, Band of Brothers being actually a gateway drug into learning about more about World War II history, and it's definitely a starting point, and certainly that was it for me as well, was the 101st. And to a point, even with the 101st, I started reading Vietnam books as well on the 101st units, a really specialist unit. I can't think, and the author, Gary, oh gosh, what's his name? I can't think of his name now. And his books, and they're effectively like little special forces units. Again, Joe Mucci will know who I'm on about. And again, I think it was just like, again, that the sort of, actually, there's more than the 101st. Even though I knew it, I want to learn more about other units. And I thought I started delving in even a little bit of, the 8th Air Force. And oh gosh, the 82nd Airborne and things like that. But Band of Brothers, Easy Company will always be my first love. And as time went on, Pacific came out. I hadn't read With the Old Breed at the time of that. I watched the Pacific, was absolutely captivated by it. But yeah, and that's another, sends you down another rabbit hole. But with Band of Brothers, yeah, I suppose thinking of how, my involved, how I got into it, it was, I'd always watch Band of Brothers two or three times a year at least. I haven't watched it at all this year, which is shocking for me,
Well,
so I need to
the
watch
year's
it.
not over at the time that we're recording, and
Yeah.
it'll be released in early 26.
Okay, I've watched it.
So maybe you have seen it, maybe you haven't.
So I have watched it once. Yeah, I've definitely watched it once this year so far.
There you go.
And yeah, I mean, I didn't realize this at the time. I think, maybe because I was in the military, I suppose I just wasn't that interested in looking for events to attend to. I'd always wanted to go to Normandy. I'd gone to the, Bastogne. I'd come back from a deployment to Kuwait. And I remember walking into the office and I saw an advertisement for what we call a staff ride to the Battle of the Bulge. I saw Band of Brothers written on it, Bastogne, and I thought, oh man, wow, I might sign up for that, and oh, I'd love to sign up and go to that. And remember my boss was in the office right next to it, and he heard me, and he goes, "Oh, hey, Leighton, I'm going on that when it's all booked up." It's like, but me and the boss are going. Or, our OC, he was the flight sergeant, and he had a little bit of a cheeky grin on his face. And I was like, "Oh, that looks awesome. Oh yeah, I'm really excited." And literally about maybe an hour later, he walks into the office I was in and said, "Hey, Leighton, do you want to go on that? There's a space that's come available, and I'll get you on it." Yeah, brilliant. And that was the sort of first time then, of going to Bastogne. Obviously, we visited other sites, but going to Bastogne for me was that, of going where easy company were. I was so excited. And of just going to that site. And that was 2009. And I think because of so short notice, I didn't really do a lot of preparation in terms of what, where we were going, or I suppose just in terms of, I suppose, reading up. I just wanted to see Bastogne, I suppose. And yeah, I'm trying to think now. It's just like, I know there was such, the band, Band of Brothers cast was starting to do little events, so I'd find out after the fact. And I suppose as time went on, I realized, oh, do you know what? I'd love to get a Band of Brothers cast signed poster. And I saw that Shane Taylor was going to be at a Comic Con. Originally, Matthew Leach was going to be there, and there's also a guy, Andrew Lee Potts, who portrayed Jackson in episode 8, the guy who blows up from his own hand grenade. And that's when I first met Shane Taylor. Matthew Leach wasn't able to make it in the end, and met Andrew Lee Potts briefly, and that started my journey of trying to accumulate this Band of Brothers poster. And I'd be on Twitter. I slip into their DMs and say, "Hey, can I send you this poster to sign?" Rick Warden signed it. Tim Matthew. So I met Tim Matthews for a pint, because he lived down the road from me. I thought, "I'm not going to post. I'll just drive to if he's happy for that, and have a coffee." I suggested a coffee. He said, "No, we'll have a drink. We'll have a proper drink." I was like, "Great." And again, so that was brilliant, because then I was able to sit down and have a conversation with him, like a proper conversation. I think I was with him for about 2 hours. And he was telling me, "Oh, wait, are you going to Normandy this year? I'm going across. It's my first one, but a couple of guys did it last year. There's this event going on in Normandy, and he was looking forward to that." And he mentioned the guys who were going, and I wasn't able to do it at the time. I was working. I thought, "Oh no, not this year, but maybe next year." And I went to the following one, the World War II Foundation, who organized it all, and it was like quite a significant number of cast members who went. Took the poster as well. I thought it was a great place to get my poster signed. And just after Band of Brothers was released, and the YouTube was very, very new, I remember that, going back, it's going back again 20, 25, 24 years ago, or not 24, I'm trying to think now, 29, 15 years ago, 15, 16 years ago, I bought a Toccoa, a Kerihi PT t-shirt from the Toccoa Museum. And I was probably a little bit too big for it then. And I thought, "Oh, I'll get my start getting my t-shirt signed as well." So I was, getting the cast members to sign that as well.
Then you can't ever wear it.
Never now, no. It's just looking good though, I gotta be honest. It's I'm hoping to get it framed, very soon. I just need Damian Lewis to sign that, and I think I'll be really happy with it. And that started that quest, and I sent my poster off to get signed by Damian Lewis. I accumulated so many cast members on it, and it got lost in his with his agency, and I was devastated. And I was just it's probably like 6 months before COVID, and I thought. And obviously, with COVID shut down, they just weren't going into the office. I was a little bit disappointed. And I didn't, I suppose I knew Tim. I used to see Tim Matthews quite regularly, meeting for a coffee or going to see one of his little gigs in Oxfordshire that he was doing, and support him. And I got to know, Nolan Hemmings, and who played Chuck Grant there. I saw him there a couple of times. And he remembered me from Normandy. So I thought, we've got a very famous father as well, which I didn't realize at the time. He was telling me about where he was born, and because his father was working at this. All right, what was your dad doing? Oh, he's an actor. All right, what's his name? Who's your dad? I said, and he told me his name. Not a clue. Not a clue. David Hemmings. And I was like, not a clue. And he was shocked. Obviously, I looked at his CV. Yeah, he's quite a big actor. And even my grandmother knew who he was as well when I told her. And yeah, COVID kicked in. And I saw that there's this Band of Brothers group on Facebook called Behind the Scenes that my chap called Simon was running. And it was just a little bit, no structure to it. And I, in a couple of other groups, and you see there is structure. And so I offered to help Simon in terms of implementing some structure to it, and sort of feeding out the, let's weed out the bots as well, because that can ruin a really good community online. So I started helping Simon with that. We brought on again Joe Mucia, a guy called Sean Lester, from the American side, and also all of those connections to Easy Company, the pair of them do. And really good guys. And it's like sort of like sharing behind the scenes stuff, from photos to props to scripts, and a place for people to sell stuff if they wanted to sell memorabilia relating to Easy Company. But it always had to be Band Brothers, centric, a little bit of the real stuff, but not from other units, or not any spam from other, it's just very, that was it. It was Band Brothers slash Easy Company. And I noticed that Comic Cons, were stopped, and I saw that all these private consigners were popping up, and I started doing them myself about for the cast of the Goonies. And I always thought, man, it'd be really cool to do the cast of Band of Brothers. And a family, I just before COVID had happened, I'd met one of the actors to sign my poster, for a coffee in London while I was working there, to sign my poster. And he was a voice actor as well, a guy called Joseph May, who plays Shames in episode 7. Joe Shames, lovely guy, lovely, lovely guy. And I remember, like a few months later, pre-COVID again still, but around Christmas time, I was at a family party, and I'd met the son of the it was like a sort of family friend party, sorry. And the host's son was at, he came downstairs, I was chatting to him, and he told me what he was doing, that he was a sound engineer for actors, for voice actors. I said, oh, I met a voice actor the other week in London. And I told him his name. He's like, oh yeah, I know Joe, American guy. I said, well, I wouldn't call him American, he's Canadian, but obviously I know Americans and Canadians get but yeah, I know Joe, yeah, great. And weirdly, I used that as an opening line. So when I emailed Joe, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself here, and wanting to do something back for the community of, for the Band of Brothers community, or the fans of the show, wanting to give back, and say, hey, what about doing, creating the ultimate poster, people getting the ultimate Band of Brothers cast sign poster, and looking to get, the hard to get guys, guys who haven't done a signing, who don't do many, signing of autographs, or haven't been to any of these events, because I know that Joe hadn't been to any. That could be a really good starting point. So I said to Simon, hey, would it be okay with me doing this? And I created Currie signings. I emailed Joe, and using that opening line of, hey, great, to have met you a couple of months ago, I met somebody who knows you, exactly what I was on about,
Wow.
and hey, I'm looking at doing this, would you be interested? He said yes, and we agreed on a price. And I said, hey, all of it goes to you, I'm not really that bothered, but I just kind of want to give back. And it's probably a little bit selfish, because I wanted to create the ultimate Band of Brothers poster as well, but I had to decide. I was starting from just because of my lost poster. Start off with Joe. Had a fantastic, told me about his time, filming Band of Brothers. He was there, he's in it for like maybe a few times, one episode, probably, over a course of 5 minutes. But he was on the show for about 6 weeks, but he still had a lot to tell. And he was talking about other work as well that he did, Thomas the Tank Engine, Cyberpunk, I think he was doing at the time, or and then I went on to do, so I started looking in for other cast members, David Nickel, who played Peacock, and then to John Julian, Mark Ryan Jordan, who played John Julian, and then started doing that. And obviously, as the customer base starts to get a little bit bigger as well, because everyone's a little bit weary from something that's starting from new. So I went from, say, maybe 20 customers, it's called customers, not, people who want, buying into it, went a little bit more, because they're starting to see now that, oh, actually, he's doing another guy now, because they've done this. He's got evidence of things getting signed, and he's doing another person. I started delving then into, dipping into the main cast then as well, as well. So from Peter Youngblood-Pills, who played Shifty, Patrick, sorry, Matthew Hickey, who plays O'Keefe, who's been a really good friend. Lovely guy. Again, his story doesn't get told, on the show, and he's got amazing things to say about his, back and forth with James Maggio, who plays Picante. And his interaction with the director as well, Michael Solomon, and fascinating. I've got his dog tags in his watch. He gifted me, those, because of the over the course of our relationship. I don't know if I've got his watch. His watch is here, but his dog tags are somewhere else. I think his watch is here, or I don't think. Yeah, I'll send it at my desk. But Matthew Leach then, and I think this is where, we Happy Few started. When I went to see Matthew Leach, we were doing it, and is, I was taking photos. I think I had uploaded a couple of photos online to show that it's underway. And he started getting messages from people saying, oh my God, so cool. And And he said, "Oh, it'd be really cool if we can live stream this." And I said, "That's a lot of work. I need to, follow this." But, and once I'd done it and I posted the photos and he'd posted the photos as well, he started getting some messages saying, "Hey, where can I get that from? Where can I get this from?" And he started asking about potentially doing another one. And he was way up north. And I thought, that's a lot of hard work, to go up to you again. And obviously, I'd had that relationship to sort of say, it's an 8-hour round trip for me. And also live streaming, that's, it's quite awkward as well. But also as well, it's got to be worth it for us, to do. Good idea though. And I've been lurking around this idea. I thought there's lot of podcasts are going around, or well, there was one particular one, History Hack, the History Hack. They'd done a Band of Brothers podcast. I think they did about three of them, and it's no slight on them, but for me, it was quite over, populated with cast members, and I didn't feel like there was really any structure to it. But they were just, getting drunk and talking about Band of Brothers, and it just felt very. And you had cast members dipping in and out. It was, a couple of hours long, or quite a few hours long per episode, and I know a lot of people talk, very highly of it. Because I think more so because it's Band of Brothers, it's got a lot of the cast on it. And for me, I didn't really enjoy it because there was just no structure to it. I felt like there was no structure to it. And it's no slight on them at all, but I just felt like it wasn't very personal or personable. So I said to Matt, "Hey, look, got this idea. I just watched the Platoon documentary and how that was structured, how they broke it down into, boot camp. To starting filming, during filming, dealing with directors, and let's talk about the actors' experience as well of actually going from the audition to filming particular episodes of particular scenes, and having structure to be focused on a particular episode, and we try not to overpopulate it with too many cast members if possible, and we sort of cut out the history stuff because they get asked all these questions." And I remember speaking with Ben Kaplan about this during his signing, and he always felt, he said, he's like, "I'm not a historian, I'm an actor. Just tell me, you go." I was like, I always felt like a little bit like, talk about this. And Tim Matthews had echoed that sentiment as well in another conversation, that I'm an actor. Talk to me about my job. I can talk to you about that all day. Talk to me about military, a maneuver. I'll maybe talk to you about 5 minutes, and I don't know what else to say because that's not me. Talk about my craft. That's a little bit different, and I said, and we focus on episodes. It's a great idea. And originally, it's, hey, let's look at, Matthew Hickey and James Madyo as our first one, and we invite people on and people to be part of that experience. It gives them something to do on a Saturday night, and we sell tickets. Because obviously you have to pay for Zoom recordings. Pay the guys as well. So for coming on, we give them a bit of money, and it's an experience. It's a Saturday night thing, and we did that, and we went from doing it as James Madyo and Matthew Hickey, to actually let's reunite Doc Rowe and Lucy and they play the woman who played Renee Lemay, Lucy Jean, lovely woman. And I thought that's actually quite a draw because they've never spoken together about the show. And I thought that's a fantastic angle. We brought on Chris Langlois, Doc Rowe's grandson at one point. We brought on Reg Yarns from a historical angle, from a wonderful tour guide. Even though we said we're gonna avoid the history bit, we brought him on to talk about it because it adds a little bit of depth. Ben Kaplan came on, Doug Allen came on, who plays Alton Moore. We also had David Leland, who sadly passed away last year, who also directed Concert for George on behalf of Playtone, which is I didn't know until a few years ago, George Harrison. I had his agent contact details, and I emailed David Leland. I was able to have him come on as well. So he added an angle and help us out and with the other nurse and who she was, and I, she existed. Augusta, oh gosh, can't think of her full name now, but again, she's got an incredible story. But obviously I don't think he really knew that story. So we started that, and it was phenomenal, and I that was what started We Happy Few. It was, watching a documentary such as Platoon, using that as a bit of an inspiration, and then bringing that, and making that Band of Brothers, and we went through various ones, and we'd always look at trying to make a difference, something special, pull out a cast member, or find a cast member who hadn't spoken before, or being quite out in the open. Craig Heaney being one, who played Cobb, funny guy, incredibly funny guy, and he's a very different persona to what you see on screen. to Mark Ryan Jordan, to who plays John Julian. I brought him on. We found the family of, we reunited Matthew Hickey with the O'Keefe family. We've had, so many of the guys on. Even Donnie Wahlberg came on as well. And you've got Jenny McCarthy walking about in the background as well. You can only see her legs, but she's there. And it's weird, and it's phenomenal, and then people are buying into it. People are wondering when the next one is. And during COVID, it was, when you couldn't go anywhere, it was just gave somebody, something to do on a Saturday night or a Sunday night. And yeah, it was, great success. And I suppose as time went on, I think we did about eight or nine of the episodes. We delved into the Pacific a couple of times, so, and that's where I created a relationship with Henry Sledge, who's Eugene Sledge's son. Created a wonderful friendship with him. Because of this, with the Pacific one at the time, people weren't really liking the Pacific or didn't enjoy it. And I think it's because they'd watched it, didn't really understand it. It wasn't Band of Brothers. And I think they just said, it's not Band of Brothers. I don't like it. But actually, I think it encouraged people to go back and watch the Pacific and actually say, actually, this is really, really good. And it is really, I've always loved the Pacific.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Pacific also, but again, it does suffer from the fact that it will inevitably always be compared to Band of Brothers. I mean, Masters of the Air has the exact same problem.
And I'll say, Henry Sledge.
Standalones, they're great, but when you try to try to compare them to Band of Brothers, then there's I guess you could say nothing compares to Band of Brothers from that perspective. No,
No.
it's the same idea that no one will ever be able to make a war movie like Saving Private Ryan ever again, but everything is compared to it. From that
Yeah,
perspective.
it sets a standard. You're right. You're absolutely right. It does. It sets a, like that baseline, a standard. And I think with the Pacific, Henry Sledge, his father was, portrayed in that show. He didn't like it. He said it's not Band of Brothers. He thought, he loves the Pacific now. He's gone back and rewatched it quite a few. He loves it. I've always loved the Pacific. And I told him, and I think he didn't like it originally because he felt like it was received not very well because it wasn't Band of Brothers. And I think obviously he took that to heart. Yeah, you're right, it's not Band of Brothers. And I think that's what he was looking. But you got three different guys on three different units.
Right.
But I thought it's up there, and because it's from the same people as Band of Brothers, that's where it suffers as well because there's that expectation. But in that sense, those units, there's large gaps between from operation to operation as well, or campaign, because they got decimated. The casualty rates and obviously logistical side of things. But obviously, Band of Brothers, you're going from England to France, or sorry, when when there's this side of the world, and it's quite, obviously they're still together and doing stuff involved in, in operations, etc. But so it's weird because we've yeah so through all of that, I've got to know a lot of the guys, initially, or at least some of them at that point. Eric Jenderson, as well, really, really nice man, and he's obviously working with Tom Cruise now, which is incredible, with the Mission Impossible films. And reuniting him with the Barnes family. And I discovered that, the Barnes great granddaughter lives two streets away from me. And it's and I think obviously now, the Barnes family now get involved. I think it's through us who, brought them to the forefront. Hey, they're out there. That George Lutz Jr. brings on board for the Stephen Ambrose Battlefield tours. I'll take credit for that one. I think that's where George probably may have seen them. I'm going to take credit for that. I said this to Jean, and I said, oh, how long have you been doing this, then, Jean? When I saw her a few months ago, when I saw George as well down in Holborn, because I was just passing through for something else, and I to meet a friend to when we were planning a bit of a day out, a bit of a day tour of Holborn, we talked a chap called Torin, and there was a couple of people there, who'd waiting to meet George Luz. I was like, he's turning up. Yeah, there's a Battlefield tour coming through. Oh, well, I'll wait for George. I know George. And I saw the Jean and Steve, from the Jean is the granddaughter of the Barnes family, and I saw her. I couldn't believe it. And yeah, and she said, oh, I've been about 3 years. Oh, 3 years. Let me look at my clock. Oh, after you've been on our podcast, brilliant. So I'm gonna take credit for that one. So yeah, and that's for anyone. I think they should. I think they deserve to. To be there because they offer such a great story. And she can talk about her grandmother, and her experience, and they have some incredible artifacts as well from, her grandmother, from Dick Winters, from Dick Winters's mother. When we met her a few years ago, because we went down to Holborn, and we met up with them as well, pre getting involved with George Les's tours. We went to a couple of places, and She brought a couple of artifacts, and one was a Dutch Pennsylvanian cookbook that been sent over, and inside the note it said, to Mrs. Barnes from Mrs. Winters, and the date was, I think it was American date. I can't remember. I got a photo on my phone, but it's just, that's incredible. This is 1944. This is, I think it was August or September 1944 that it was dated, and I thought, well, that's it. Standalone, that's just a typical book, but because of the historical, because of the significance of Band of Brothers, the impact that's had, it's actually quite incredible to see. It's a really cool piece of history, to see that, and we started delving into, doing Battlefield Tours podcasts, and being able to have some of the guys on again. We're pulling guys that we didn't get on our live Zooms. We've delved into, other movies from, Inglourious Basterds to, oh gosh, Memphis Belle. We've had DB Sweeney on, we have Courtney Gaines on, to have them, and it was amazing. To, gosh, who else have we had on? I just couldn't believe that we had on, to be honest with you. We had Bobby Kirsch, Bobby Schofield on from Rogue Heroes. We've had guys from Band of Brothers, being able to chat with Ross McCall a little bit better, and get to, Michael Cudlitz, to Freddie Joe Farnsworth, and going to Belgium with him. Who's one of the military advisors on Band of Brothers and the Pacific and various other incredible shows. You get to know these guys as well, Robin Lang, who plays Babe Heffron, and being able, get to know Robin a little bit better as well, and Shane Taylor and Lucy, and Phil McKee, who plays, and you get to chat to them as well. And what the great thing is, you know, they love chatting about their other work, because they get spoken to about Band of Brothers all the time. But also as well, it was because of what I was doing with We Happy Few, I was able to, reach out to them, and have them do, Karahi sign and stuff. So I was able to meet them away from, being online, and actually chat to them in a personal manner, and exchange messages with them, and text messages with them, and call me, or, when I wound down, when I put a hold on Karahi signs for a little while, Robin Lang had seen it and rung me to see if I was okay,
Oh,
and I
wow.
said, yeah, just a little bit burnt out. I just want to focus on this for the moment. And Robin's lovely as well. Frank John Hughes messaged, he called me, oh gosh, a few months ago now. No, back in August. Yeah, and him and his partner, were putting on an event in Los Angeles, and asking if I would donate a poster of the cast for him to put for auction. And I said, which one do you want? Because I had a couple to the side that, I have a spare that, just to sell or donate, and can I have, and he got guys to sign it, that side of the world, and I sent over a script as well, that's, that I had, that's been signed by John Orloff, and actually he signed for me as well. And he, Frank John Hughes, what a guy. I'd met him a couple of years before in New Orleans. He was very, minimal interaction. Mark Lawrence, who played Duke, might have briefly introduced me to him, and I got him to sign a storyboard from Band of Brothers as I collect, those sort of props. And it's just quite a minimal interaction, and I didn't really get to chat to him then. And then when Jim DiMaggio put me in touch with Frank, instantly hit her off, got the same surname, which, a little bit of banter around that. And then when I met him, what a guy,
Any
what a
relation to
guy.
him? Are you guys related?
No relation,
That's
as I say in Die Hard, no relation. Frank
right.
John Hughes, no relation.
That's right.
And then he's, reaching out to me to and I said, absolutely. Band of Brothers is, for me, has done a lot for me over the years, in those dark times, or when you're on deployments, bonding with friends. You chat about, when I was in military training, when I retraded to military police is where I met Paddy. When I was going through my own training, I was with guys who love Band of Brothers. We quoted Band of Brothers. We called, one of our guys, one of the guys on the course, we called him Foxhole Norman because of his particular behaviors on a field
Okay,
exercise.
that's not necessarily a compliment, but okay.
But we, he's a good guy, but we just, Foxhole Norman. But we love war films, and Band of Brothers was, probably top of the list at the time. And, when I see these guys, they ask me about it, and I don't know what to say, because I feel like I don't want to brag, but I want to brag, but I don't want to brag because of these interactions. And, even with this event now that, that Frank did, I said, yeah, absolutely, wherever you want, Frank, wherever you want. So I sent those over. I wanted to get Damian Lewis, but it was just to get, to get up to him to sign these pieces back down and post it. I think Frank just wanted them, so I said, yeah, no problem, we'll worry about that another time if we had a longer lead in. Or if he was in, if he was London based, but he wasn't at the time. I think he was up in Scotland filming something. And seeing him, his partner Kimberly, posted a video of him talking about this auction that they were doing, this event that they were doing, and somebody had sent it to me, because I think it had been posted overnight, because they're obviously in California, being in the UK, sort of 8 hours behind. And I would have seen her in the morning, but I had about three messages. I know for me that's a lot. With this particular video that being posted with Frank talking, and he talks about these two pieces that I'd sent over, and he'd mentioned my name at the end, saying, "Hey, my good buddy Leighton, over in England, and I'm like, bloody hell, that's incredible, that's phenomenal.
Right.
And I don't do it for that. I just did a nice thing. I just wanted to do something to help, somebody who's effectively helped me out over, say 20, 25 years. And then, I think it was last week, or yeah, last week, messaged me, "Hey, I'm over in London in January. Let's grab some dinner as a thank you." Again, I'm like, you aren't gonna buy me dinner, but I'll take free food any day of the week. And he said, "Gonna do a signing again, mate. Let me know. I'll be up for that if you're up for it." I was like, so, I wanted to kick up Kerry's signings again. Yeah, I'm up for that. Same way we did things, and when I messaged him yesterday asking, "Hey, is Rick Gomez gonna be there? Would Rick Gomez be interested? Because I know he's in the UK, filming Silo." And we spoke about that. There's something else, looking into the history of Abraham Lincoln. I when I went to this particular graveyard, gosh, a little while ago, and I was saying, this is really weird, weren't it, because of this guy. And what I noticed was, as a Hughes, it freaked me out. I felt like Bill Murray and Scrooge, that I saw, and I actually thought of you as well. And I thought, do I send this to Franco? Is he going to think I'm a right weirdo? And I showed him all these graves, were full of, all these, it was a gravesite full of Hugheses. And "Hey man, we've got to talk about that. Sounds really fascinating, actually." And he was genuine, and I was just like, that's class. For me, it's just like really nice. And to have guys just, I don't know, it's just reaching out to you, and to have that little compliment, when you did that video. That's Frank John Hughes. That guy, he's doing a little bit, a couple more Battlefield tours with it, the New Orleans Museum, the World War II Museum, which I think is phenomenal. He is such a draw, and he's an incredible guy as well, a very talented guy, and his background is phenomenal, and just being able to do that. But I think, my biggest, and again, one of the things I was, I suppose, very privileged, a couple of years ago, one of my friends, I maybe had 3 weeks' notice, was, "Hey, there's a barbecue in LA. My friend Freddie was like, do you want to come?" I was like, "Yeah. Whose barbecue is it?" "Oh, it's Michael Cudlitz's. It's the reunion for the US based guys."
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, put some annual leave in, and went to that. Went for a long weekend. It was phenomenal. And I was probably there for about, we were probably there for about 2 hours, 2.5 hours, overall. I kept to myself, I didn't really, if anything, when I walked through the door, I was like, obviously, I didn't want to be a guy who, just fanboyed or anything like that, because I feel like some of those guys I've got to know, obviously I didn't want to, you think, like, I gone from watching this show back in 2021, where I've just, watch it three or four times a year, as anyone does, bonded over it, etc. Now I'm in a place where these guys are, and you had, Meg Lieberman there, who did the casting. You had Kirk Sadusky, who's a, probably the second guy, is Tom Hanks and Gary Goldman's right-hand man. I've got to know Kirk a little bit over the few years anyway, since then, just because of something to do with Henry Sledge and the Library of Congress, and assisting there. To then, who else was there? You had Jason O'Mara, but I didn't speak to Jason. Colin Hanks was there, and I think I was, again, and well, Ross, seeing Ross, Ross is always looking prim and proper. When I saw him, he had a massive glass of wine, and he was in, tracksuit bottoms and a scruffy t-shirt, when it's just phenomenal. And Kirk Acevedo was there, who played, Joe Toy, but his wife was there, Kirsten. And I remember her from Saving Private, sorry, Saved by the Bell, many, many years ago, the college years. And I was actually quite, I was like, oh my God, I probably spent more time to, great to meet you. I remember watching you on television, Saved by the Bell, and she loved it, that I remembered that show, and it was brilliant. I loved it. And but then, speaking to my cutlets, I think I was getting a drink, and my cutlets started talking. Obviously, I'm in his house, of course, he's going to talk to me. He's a lovely guy. And just asking me about how things are going with our podcast and our Zoom and, and a couple of other things as well. And it was just like genuine interest, it was just phenomenal, and I think we went from there then, and we went down to Universal Studios to do the City Walk, and went to Bubba Gump, and for some food. It was just very surreal, to be there to get that invite, and people know who you are, in the most cases. And it's very surreal to do that, and go on these battlefield tours. And it's always for me, it's always been an honor and a privilege to do these. And to probably, we've dipped into Masters of the Year as well, which is obviously part of that, because when that came out, people wanted to go and see these places. And it just felt quite natural to sort of do that and, get to know the guys from Masters of the Year, again, from, the actor's side. It's interesting, and I think I've never been the guy at the face of it all. Of what we do is we happy few. It's always been Matthew. He's always been the draw. But I think, a lot of stuff gets done in the background. I think with Freddie, who I've been able to build up a bond with and a relationship with, over the years, because of this, that's what I take away from it. And I think when he came to on our Battlefield tour to Liège, sorry, we were based from Liège, sorry, we're doing a Battle of the Bulge tour, and I think he saw the work that went into that from my side. And I remember, we were chatting about it on the Eurostar back to London, and how, I always will play things down my role. I'm not the draw. It's Matthew Leach, and rightly so, to go, to these places with somebody from the cast. We obviously supplement that with an additional cast member or two. In those cases, had Freddie Joe, who's the tech advisor on the show, and also the guy on the horse in episode 3, but also as well Phil McKee, who plays Strayer. And take Phil, was a lovely, lovely guy. And again, he has a different story. And to be able to do that and go to these places, or and when when we're on the train, when I was on the train with Freddie and we were chatting, and so, I suppose the work that goes in, making sure everyone gets on the bus, off the bus, going to these places, and posting social media content at the time, and making sure, he's looked after, Phil's looked after, even Matthew's looked after, and I suppose everyone else as well. I suppose, he saw, okay, you're not the front of it, you're not front of house, but you're, what do you call it, you're like a sniper in the background, where you're just dealing with things as they come up, and that's how I was sort of seeing my role. Or, a few months later, where we took Shane Taylor there, we had Lucy Jean there, and I wasn't necessarily to be part of the tour in that case on the bus, so we had to bring in somebody else to do that, who made a chap called Carson, who maintains our website. So he sort of, did that role for me for that particular tour, because I had to go to Brussels to collect Shane, who didn't arrive the day before. I had to go and drive to Brussels to pick up Shane. No, so yeah, what, did Shane fly in, or I think Shane flew in, the night before. So I was literally picking up Matthew from the airport as well, because I arrived quite a few hours from him. So I had to go to Luxembourg to Brussels. The next day, I had to get a bird back to Brussels as well from Bastogne, to grab Lucy to bring her back, and doing all of that, and that sort of side, so that's where it sort of came in, just to make things a lot easier, and sort of, having to step away from being on the bus and enjoying the tour, I had to sort of go and do that. I suppose you could say our social media suffered, with that one, because it should have been some really great content. And just make so it, that those sort of things could be facilitated, because Lucy was able to join us for one day. Shane was able to join us for effectively, one day as well, but he arrived the night before. And just making, those experiences, and for the people that we're with, and it makes it all worth it, and then, a year later, we're taking Robin Lang. Although he's been quite a few times to Bastogne, because he does a lot of the battlefield tours, the Easy Company ones with the World War II Museum, and and nothing against them, they've got a list, they have to have a list, they have time, they have time limits, and whereas, we want to go off the beaten track, we want to do a little bit different, because, it's great, looking at what other people do, but, if you're going to copy them, that's just wrong. Not wrong, but we want to make it different for us. It was all about being different. What makes us different?
Yeah, there has to be some added value for them to want to do yours as opposed to somewhere else.
Yeah, and the demographic we have as well is insane. When we were in Sicily, we had somebody from Thailand. That was incredible. I think that particular, or the year before, we had Shane there, somebody come from China. Just for this, Australia, and with that, so we had, when we had Robin with us, really, really nice guy, and again, we went to a particular, the monument just before the Bozjak, or at the start of where the Holt station. There's a monument there that Tom Hanks had financed in honor of the Menovesi company, and to the right, there's some wooded area, and quite a few actions, quite a bit of action happened there with Easy Company. And when we were getting off the bus, people having photos at the monument, photos with, Robin, etc. And then, so right, we're going to go in there now. And we did it the year before. We always go in there because a lot happened. And I said to Robin, I knew he hadn't gone because I know, I got, I just knew he hadn't gone there before. Just because the itinerary the World War II Museum did, I said, oh, have you ever been to the, site where, John Julian was killed, that particular action? He said, never been here. And, I've been here quite a few times within, museum in New Orleans, but I've never been there. So I said, well, that's about to change. And, I won't do his accent, a Scottish accent. I said, yeah, we're about to go there now, mate, and blown away by it, to take him there. It was incredible to, be there with Robin, because there's more to the story that, than you see on screen with relating to those two. Their relationship goes back quite a bit. He's not just some new guy who turns up that seems to get portrayed that, and he's been lumped with Babe Heffron. Actually, that relationship goes back before then, well before then. They were really good friends. They were best friends. Although he was best friends with Wild Bill as well, but obviously John Julian was a, was a very good friend for him as well. So to take Robin there was pretty special. It's a shame that, I think we did ask Mark Ryan Jordan. I think he was unavailable, who plays John Julian. But yeah, it's to do these things, it's been brilliant, and things are winding down. I think, operations you could say is, myself and Matthew, just because of different things, different, paths, and I think, but I'm still going to try and do things here and there for, to keep, I suppose, the brand alive and keep, the community that we've built together alive. Because it's weird, you've created a band of brothers and sisters in a way in what we've done in these battlefield tours, people, from all walks of life, all, backgrounds, various backgrounds, different ages, to a point where now people have become best friends. People have, started doing podcasts together.
Oh, wow.
People have traveled to, each other's home countries to visit them, and that's come from what we've done on these battlefield tours, so I'll absolutely take that, over everything that we've done, all those achievements,
Well, it all boils down to personal connections, and that's again one of the great things about Band of Brothers. You feel the personal connections between these characters. So it makes perfect sense, that the flow goes, that people who are coming on these battlefield tours, will have that same type of experience in the future for them, for themselves, with other people that they experience the tour with. So that's really cool.
And in the most part, we've had people do all of the tours. We've had people do five, six, seven tours, and even the people who've only done one tour or two tours, they still get brought in. Like, they don't like keep having, people. It's weird. If somebody's an outsider, not an outsider, but if somebody's like by themselves and they're alone, they'll get sucked in. They will get looked after by, the people on the tour, and they will make sure that they're okay. And I think that's one of the wonderful things, on our first, when we went to Eindhoven, I'd never been, we'd had somebody who was in a wheelchair, Marsha, who, and obviously it takes time to get out of and on the bus. And within minutes, well, that started happening from the first stop, that people were helping her get off the bus, on the bus, and looking after her. And that has continued, when she's been on the tours as well, that, people ensure that she gets on the bus okay and off the bus okay. It's looking at, and then to a point where, even earlier this, say, earlier this year in January, when we went back, we went back to Belgium again, and it was different. We wanted to do a Masters of the Air tour and focus on a specific air crew. So we had four or five of the cast members. We had the commander of the current, 100th bomb group, you could say, or what they are now. We had, Soy Spielberg. We had James Maynor, Kai Alexander, Bailey Brooke. and we unveiled the monument, for their crew. Myself and Reg, when myself and Reg were planning it, Reg would always call me up when he's driving or something, and we'd have really good chats. And I said, hey, he'd found the crash site for the Alice from Dallas aircraft. And I just said to him, is there a memorial there for it? He said,
Wow.
no, there isn't. I was like, okay, can we do that? Can we put one there? Yes, we can. And there were some stumbling blocks originally, lots of paperwork to be done. But we did it, just from asking a question. And I'll always say that, always ask a question because you just don't know what you're going to get. If you don't ask, you don't know. And that's always been really my motto in life. And I've said that, God, for probably all my life, is you don't ask, you don't get. And even with this, when we did that, and Reg's, we went to the town hall, oh, sorry, the whole community was there as well. So when it came out, you had reenactors there, you had military vehicles there, the mayor was there, you had the American attache there, ambassador, was there as well. It was incredible. You had a flyover. It was phenomenal. And we did it, at the time, for the articles at the Belgian newspapers, they didn't really credit us with it. They spoke about it and, particular cast members who were there, but they didn't really, which is quite annoying. But overall though, I said, but to know that you did that, you started that process. And when we went back to the town hall then afterwards, because the town hall put on drinks, a little bit of a reception for us or the event, and Reg is talking about the process, he's thanking everyone, and he, Reg is, he's a fantastic storyteller, and he talks about, how it started, and he always, he says, every time I ask Reg a question, he always say, Reg, got a cool question for you, and he says this so much more hilariously, and I always say everything starts with a question, and I think even with the start of We Happy Few, everything starts with a question. That's how, even before then with Currie signings, I asked a question. Everything starts with a question to Joseph May to then go in, building that up to then, We Happy Few. It was listening to Matthew on a podcast that he did, and I thought, oh, this could be a really good guy to sort of do something with. He's got this type of outgoing personality, certainly more than me. He could be that connection, that sort of face of it that can really, be part of this. And watch the Platoon documentary as well. Literally, really around the same weekend. Because you're in COVID, you just watch TV and listen to podcasts, and then
Yeah, there
asking
wasn't
the
a church
question.
during COVID, for sure.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot, but yeah, and that's where I am now, and we've just done, it's great doing Band of Brothers, but like I said, there's other stories to be told as well, and we've always tried to make a point as well of on these battlefield tours of when we go to these places is what else happens there. Yeah, that's great doing Band of Brothers, fantastic, but what else is there? Because there's other stories to be told as well. So when we did Eindhoven, I think predominantly that was Band of Brothers. I think we went to Arnhem. It was Arnhem we went to, yeah, because we went to the bridge, if I get that. Yeah, I forgot that wrong. Apologies. But that was probably a last minute thing. But we didn't really do a lot there. We just went there. And for me, it felt like we should have spent time there because it took so long and we were up against it with a bus and getting it back. And it was only one day. So, and that was predominantly Band of Brothers centric, that tour. But when we did the next one, the Battle of the Bulge one, when we based ourselves in Liège, which sold out in 6 days as well, because people wanted to do it again. They really got keen to get back together. We had made it 2 days rather than one. Band, it was, let's, okay, let's do 1 day Band of Brothers or Easy Company. Another day, let's do something else. Let's do something different. And we were able to see some amazing things up in the Northern Shoulder. And even this particular area where there was a couple of Medal of Honors went in a very, small space, or, very small area. But also, when we do Band of Brothers, because again, going back to not wanting to, replicate exactly what the World War II Museum are doing or any other tour group that, operates tours in those areas, let's go off the beaten track. We've got, probably the best guide in Belgium, with Reg Jans, who's got, he knows all these stories, he's studied them, he's met the guys, he spent time with the guys, the actual veterans, and that was his brief. Take us where no one else goes, so even if people do moan that we're copying, do you know what? Actually, we're not. If you actually look, we're doing something different. We want to do something different. Of course, we're going to go to certain places because that's what people want to see. You can't help that, but we want to go somewhere else as well. Let's go where, oh God, it's not country, but we just went off the beaten track. And I think, and places that other people don't go to, where John Julian's died, Dick Winters' CP, To where they position themselves before they attacked a particular village. It wasn't fight, or was it towards fight, or where we went from one place, we also went from the other angle. We just went off the beaten track, and I think that's such, that's what we make it different as well. It's not, let's just hit the main points, let's hit the tourist spots that everyone goes to, let's go to the places that no one goes to. Dick went to CP, no one knows, no one goes there, and it's not far from where the foxholes are.
Wow.
But everyone goes to the Bojack, not far at all. And once you see it, you can't see it, and no one goes there, no one goes there. And but it's not just that, but it's, yeah, that's the brief. Let's go where no one goes. Let's keep it. Yeah, let's do the
What
best.
do you think is the reason that no one goes there?
I don't think they just know where it is, or I suppose with the places that are off the beaten track.
They just don't feel that that's something really interesting to people? Is that their way they're
Would be
thinking?
incredibly interesting. Yeah, I think it would. Where John Julian was shot, where the monument is, it's like 50 minute, meters away from it. All you have to do is walk in the wooded area, like 50, 60 meters, you're there. I believe Joe Mucha goes there with his talk, so I think he's probably the only one who does. And I think because it's a little bit of uneven ground as well, maybe there's fear of people twisting their ankle or something.
Okay.
But if they wear the appropriate boots of being in the Ardennes, certainly around wintertime, it's there. But also as well, there's a bike path that sort of goes alongside as well up in the hill. You can sort of see it from above as well. But people like collecting the dirt as well from, these particular grounds. I do it myself, and but I think A, they just it's they don't want to go off, or it's too much time, or they just don't know where it is. Certainly from individual perspectives, I mean, yeah, it's and it's just, I think it's just what gets pushed by what they see online as well, of going to the going to the foxholes, going to the monument. They just don't think of going anywhere else, like for Carentan, the Bloody Gulch, there's areas again, Paul Woodage, where he's done. When we went, it was like, take us to these places, take us to where no one else goes, or which is not really advertised, because he knows that place like the back of his hand. So he told us this, we spoke obviously that, that's what a story again, being able to know the real Saving Private Ryan. Have the Nyland family, and it's been incredible to get to know, Pete Nyland. Yeah, his uncles, his father got shot down in the Pacific. And yeah, it was pretty cool chatting to him. I went to the barracks where his uncle Fritz was staying. I was able to go there. I found out Tyler, just asked a question. Hey, where was the stable? Where was the 501st stationed? Also, as well, but which particular stables were they in? Where were they situated? He told me, and I went there just in hope, ask a question. I turned up, went there, and we went to the stables in Lambourne, and I said, oh, hey, this guy walks out with a horse, because obviously a big race, horse racing, country there, or town. And he said, oh, nothing to, I just work, you just need to speak to that, knock on the door in the house and speak to the owner. So I knocked on the door. A lovely woman answered. I said, hey, I just ask you questions about, come and see the site. So I don't want to walk around aimlessly, but if you're okay with me, just World War II history nuts, and I know a lot, people were stationed here, knew exactly what I was on about in terms of that historical value. And she said, oh yeah, you want to go in there, go and sit in those stables. I said, just be careful, don't hurt yourself, not my fault, go at your own risk. So she, we walked over there, and he goes, yeah, this is where they lived, this is where they slept. And as we walked in, she said, look above, and I got two pieces. I took them, and basically the ceiling was mess tin, American mess tins. They'd use it for insulation in the ceiling. And obviously some of it was pulling down, and I just went yanked.
Wow.
Obviously, but to see, because yeah, they, ate in that stable over there, they slept here, when they did renovations, they found stuff, things were found, and they said, we haven't, we're actually gonna have to dig them out. But they found stuff, and I thought that was phenomenal for me. That was like, this is incredible. And obviously I got a piece for Pete, and I tried FaceTiming him with the owner. So the husband turned up, obviously, started talking to me and explained, really nice guy. And, we tried FaceTiming, Pete, but, connectivity there was quite weak. So it was really hard to get through to him. But, I took a piece of that seal and I sent it over to him to say, hey, this is from a stable where, your uncle might have put up. When he was stationed in this town or his village. And obviously I was saying to them as well, who he was, and the film Saving Private Ryan, and Fritz Nyland, the Matt Damon character, was stationed here. He actually was a real person. Sorry, I got off a bit piece there, but
No, that's
true story.
okay. Rabbit holes are great. Rabbit holes and
But
fun.
they talk about that, yeah.
Yeah.
That inspired Band of, without saying Private Ryan, is though Band of Brothers. And they talk about that in Band of Brothers. They talk about Fritz in Band of Brothers as well.
Yes.
Muck, and I think Malarkey knew it.
Skidmark was friends with him. Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, I think they met him while they were over as well. I think while they were in London. But yeah, so Woody, yeah, Woody again asked him to take us to all these various places, and yeah, it was awesome. And I think I love that, when we went to, where Spears was, we operated the story behind, shooting his own guy, is what it did happen. But Band of Brothers can be that gateway as well. And I think that's the great thing about Band of Brothers is it's a starting point for a lot of people. But when you read the book, you discover, the names of more men as well, and other units, and you want to look, or particular places. If you're, especially if you're in the UK as well, you see Holborn, you see Littlecote, and then you drive past it. And you go, I want to go there. And then you see that there are other units of Ramsbury, Lambourne, 501st, and all, you had Easy Company there. You had from the 2506, but then Ramsbury, I think, is the 3506, as well. And you look at that, and it just again, it opens it up. And recently, Welford, RAF Welford, where the big drop happened, where, the paratroopers, did that, the massive display for Eisenhower and Churchill, all those sort of pre. Pre-D-Day, because they're doing an inspection of all the troops. But even where I'm from, I'm discovering, there's this history there. There's military history. The 82nd Airborne or the 101st went through. The ones who didn't go via air, they went via sea, and obviously they went through the ports in South Wales. So a lot of them did, as well as Southampton. It's not a documentary, but it's still portrayed on real people. That's what makes you draw you in. Memphis Belle gets you interested. Saving Private Ryan obviously continues that, but Band of Brothers gets you looking at the actual history, I think.
And I completely agree, and it's great that there are people like you out there that are still continuing to tell people and show people the history of all that's going on. I think that's amazing.
I love it. And the friendships you create as well, I think that's what it's done is as well. It can, there's a community out there, and there's a lot of rubbish out there with the AI YouTube channels. And the voices that they use, which is a problem, or people believe what they see on television, they see it as fact, which is also a
Yeah, of course.
problem. And I think that's why people need to sort of do a little bit more reading. I mean, I thought Easy Company won the war when I first watched Band of Brothers, and sort of start the realization that, actually, do there are a few more people involved, but again, I was young, I was captivated by the show. And I think that's the interest, but that's what started you off. You go, actually a couple more units here, that not just Easy Company, there are a few more companies, battalions, divisions,
That's how you're gonna watch the longest day. When you watch the longest day, you get to see the amount units and people that were all involved just in that particular day, but then obviously over the course of the next year, of them going through Europe. So yeah.
No, of course it is. No, it is.
This has been so fascinating. Yeah, definitely. All right. Would you like to tell people how they can get in touch with you?
We're Happy Few on Instagram, Facebook, we've got our website.com, we're happyfew.com, we've got Curry Signings. Again, just Curry Signings on Instagram and Facebook, really. There's no website for that. It's all sort of done just via that means, really, and an element of trust, really, with that one. Just because it's not a business, it's something for me to give back. Everything that is given, it goes to the actors. With that, or those who sign. But yeah, it's just, yeah, Curry Signings Instagram, and we're Happy Few on Instagram and Facebook as well. And there's a YouTube channel. We've got all of our live Zooms on there. But I think a lot of the podcasts are on there as well. I think the Zoom stuff we do, I think I'm slowly making them public, as well. So they're all on there, and obviously people can see how we started off. And obviously there's photos from our battlefield tours as well on social media. From the drone footage to just general eyes on the ground as well, and things that we've done.
All right, excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So I will be back tomorrow with yet another episode. But until then, hurry!
Curry.